was thinking about that song just then. Turn to Proverbs 18. You know, we know that God's going to save His elect, don't we? You know that. You know that. Let me ask you this. Do you have a desire to come? Then come. Trust Him. Looking away from any work of self-righteousness. Don't look to your profession of faith. That's the evidence. Don't look to baptism. That's water. That is the confession of what the Lord has done for you. I know that He died for His sheep. Why not for me? Why not for me? Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You know, we've just gone verse by verse in this book. This is the way the Spirit of God wrote it. I've said before, we are most blessed that we would have a Bible and be able to open it and read and hear God's Word. What a blessing that God would give His people a heart to want to read and hear His Word. Here's what the Spirit of God says. Solomon penned it. Spirit of God wrote it. Said it. He that answereth. He that turns away from and rejects. That's what it means. A matter. A word. Before he heareth it. And that is carefully considers it. He that rejects something before he truly understands what he's saying, it is folly and shame unto him. You know, have you ever heard somebody in they're trying to either a debate or something like that, and they're both talking. They're both talking at the same time. You know, and when they both start talking to each other at the same time, I just want to change the channel. You know, because I'm thinking, that you know what, this is ridiculous. Now, there are some things that somebody could probably hear, and it really didn't matter. It's still rude. It's rude. And it's arrogant. If you're wanting to tell me something, and I don't have the common courtesy to just at least let you say it, I'm just rude. I'm arrogant, and I'm just exposing my ungraciousness. That's all I'm doing. Just, you know. When it comes to something that doesn't matter, well, then that's fine. I mean, we'll get over it. But now, when it comes to the matter of a man's soul, we're just a small group of people here this morning, but one of these days, we're all going to be in a great throng, and we're all going to be standing before God. Don't know where we'll be in the crowd, but we'll be there. And in that day, everything that our Lord has set forth in this book. This, if you want to know what the evidence is on the day of judgment, here it is. This is the evidence right here. What saith the Scriptures? I want to hear what this book's got to say. And I want the Spirit of God to teach me. And I want to take sides with God against myself. Because I'm going to tell you something. I know me. I'm hard-headed. I'm arrogant. I'm opinionated. That's just the way that I am, and I have a sneaking suspicion you are too. All of us are born with an attitude that wants what I want. Now, the one whose word endureth forever, his word is going to stand, and I know that. I know that. I know that. So the best thing for me to do, let me speak for myself and you answer for yourself. Let me tell you, the best thing for me to do is for me to be quiet. I need to be quiet, and I need to hear what Almighty God has to say. I need to be quiet, and I can make good on that. Listen to this, Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything, any word before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Best thing in the world for me to do is to hear what God has to say and for me to hush. That's the safest place to be. And believe Him. And believe God. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let us seize upon every opportunity to hear the Word of God preached. Oh, Lord, help me not to miss an opportunity to hear what You have to say. You know what everything else, how everything else falls into that category of, you know, here's what God has to say. You know what everything else is? Nothing. Vanity is vanity. All is vanity. Everything else. Only what God has to say. Let's be slow to speak against what God has to say. May I be truthful as I stand before you. I said a few minutes ago, I'm just a voice. These are not my words. I believe them. Paul said, this is our gospel. This is the gospel of God given to us. We're just stewards. I'm just a steward. That's all I am. I'm a steward. I've been entrusted with a stewardship. I have a responsibility, and my responsibility is to stand before God's people and tell you what God has to say. Now, that's what I've been called to do, to tell you what God has to say. I have no other calling. Everything else fades into nothingness. Be content to hear and to learn, slow to wrath. When the gospel is proclaimed, when instruction is given, and when sin is exposed, take God's side. Take God's side. I'm telling you that, oh, there's no other haven. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit, that is, short of temper, exalteth folly. To disagree or to find fault with a man is one thing. To disagree and find fault with God is soul damning. Lord, help me. Paul said in Romans 9, Romans 9 is one of those chapters. Go back and read it. You talk about setting forth the absolute sovereignty of God Almighty to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. And when he says, hath the potter not the power over the clay of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. Do you know that there's not a spitting image of difference between any of us right here? And do you know if God Almighty shows mercy to you and passes me by that he's right? He's right. He has the right. He has the right to leave me to myself. To leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And let me go to hell. He has the right to do that. And he has the right to show you mercy, give you a new heart, and give you a heart to believe and trust him. He's got the right. Nay, but O man, who art thou? The apostle says it replies to against God. This morning I want to just say five things concerning what God has declared. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and a shame to him. He that rebukes or answers against something before he hears. Now here's the thing. I'm going to state these five things, and I'm not going to tell you anything that you've never heard. I'm not going to tell you one thing. Everything I'm about to tell you, you've heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm going to tell you from God's Word. I'm going to back it up with Scripture. And it's for all of us. I need to hear. Here's the first thing. Here's the matter. He that rebukes a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and a shame unto him. Here's the first matter. All men born in Adam are sinners. Dead sinners. Spiritually dead sinners. That's the first thing. Every man, every woman born in Adam is born spiritually incapable of doing anything. You have no ability. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And Adam ate and Adam died. Spiritual death means that there is no communication. There is no interaction with God. There's none. Spiritual death means there's no life there. Oh, I understand you're walking around physically. But I'm telling you, if you want to know the evidence of the lack of spiritual life, just speak to someone that doesn't know anything, that the Spirit of God has taught nothing of the gospel, and listen to what they have to say concerning God, who God is, who man is. You're thinking, that is absolutely contrary to Scripture. There's nothing to draw from. There's no life there. The Scripture says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, the first point, all men are born sinners. And sin has one end, death. Death. That's it. Mankind, been created by God, and God Almighty has the dominion. And the Lord saith, the soul that sinneth is going to die, and all are accountable to him. That's, he rules. He's God. So here's the first point. Man is born dead. Now listen. Here again, he that speaks against a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and ashamed unto him. See, man by nature says, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I believe that a man can respond. Don't don't speak against a matter before you hear it. God says that we're born dead. Here's the second thing. Except a man repent, he shall die in his sins. In Luke, I'll read this if you want to look at Luke 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance means a change of mind. Change of mind. It doesn't mean start acting more religious. It means a change of mind. And it's a change of mind on how God justifies a sinner. How should man be just with God? Here's, the scripture says that man is just with God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting away his guilt, paying man's debt, and robing that man in the righteousness of Christ, making that man in Christ holy. He's just before God, no guilt. New man created in righteousness, wherein dwells no sin. That which is born of God sinneth not. How is man? He's not justified before God by walking down an aisle. So we got to think different. Here's the thing. Except you think differently. How are you going to think differently? God's going to have to give a man a new heart. But listen to this. Do you know, being dead in trespasses and sins does not excuse a man's responsibility to repent. Scripture says that all men are commanded to repent. All of them. Everybody. You said, well, you just said that a man's dead in trespasses and sins. That's right. And you said that except a man repent, he's going to perish. That's right. And then you said, and even though he's dead in trespasses and sins, you said that that does not relieve the responsibility to do what you've just said he couldn't do. That's right. Does not excuse you. You say, well, how can you prove that? The scripture says he's not. The creation declares the handiwork of God. Therefore, they are without excuse. No excuse. The soul that sinneth and dies in sin, rebellion against God, has no excuse. Well, you didn't give me a heart. No excuse. It was your fault. No excuse. You think man's not in a mess? You know, I'm telling you, man's in a mess. Man is born thinking that he can. The Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. Here's the third thing. You must be born again. You must be born again. Man is born spiritually dead. Except a man repents, he's going to perish. You must have life given you from above. Verily, verily, Nicodemus, I say unto you, except a man be born again, that is, from above, and has absolutely nothing to do with that salvation, with that regeneration, the Spirit of God must create life in you, and you are not looking for it. You say, well, now how are you going to back that up? No man seeketh after God. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. And there wasn't one. There was not. No man seeketh after God. Well, then how is a man born again? I'll tell you exactly how he's born again. Almighty God, according to His will and His purpose and His choosing and His work, chose to show mercy and comes in regenerating grace when you were never looking for Him. No, you weren't. The Scripture says no man seeks God. And He stopped you and stopped me on our high horse just like He did Saul of Tarsus. And He said, live. Live. Why me? Why would He show mercy to me? Because He chose to. Because He chose to. Regeneration is one of those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Born from above is totally the result of God Almighty's purpose to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever He will. You say, well, you're making this thing totally out of my hands. That's right. Here's my fourth point. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. I will, Jonah said, sacrifice. Here's the sacrifice of my mouth. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that which I vow. Salvation is of the Lord. That means you don't have anything to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. My friend, if you sat under the gospel, it's because God put you there. If you believed Him, it's because God gave you faith. If you believe Him still this morning and you believed Him last week, it's because you were kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Salvation is of the Lord. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and a shame unto him. This is the truth. Men are born from above, not of blood. My son, and I have three daughters, and I truly believe God saved them. I truly believe. I believe He has. I think He has. I pray He has. I pray He saved me. But I can tell you this, if He's shown mercy to my kids, it wasn't for my sake. It was for His sake. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. It wasn't that they decided, nor the will of man. I would want them to be, but I don't have any power. I have no power to bestow life upon them. How are they born? They're born of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. No man, that's what we read just a while ago, no man can, no man has the ability to come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him by grace and power, gives him a new heart to come. I was with Brother Todd Nybert, this preacher's school. Todd asked me, he said, was it a sacrifice for you to go to Fairmont? I said, no. Nope. No sacrifice at all. I wanted to do it. Sacrifice is when you give up something you don't want to. Something when you do it because and you didn't want to do it. Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. Why? Because salvation's of the Lord. Here's the closing thing. Number five. Salvation is sure to God's elect. John 17:2. It's sure. John 17:2, Lord willing, this next week we'll start in this 17th chapter. And I'm telling you, this is holy, this is holy ground. John 17:2. Here's our Lord praying. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Father has given all power unto the Son, that he would direct and move and raise up this nation, put down that nation, put this person here and that one there, and put these two together, and that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. For him to give you eternal life, he had to bring your parents together and all of the other parents that ever went back to bring you into existence, to give you life. Salvation is sure to God's elect. All that the Father giveth me, John 6:37, I love this passage, shall come to me. They're coming. And you know what I'm doing this morning? Turn to Acts 13 as I close. This is the last verse I'm going to read for this morning. Here's what I know. This gospel is the only, Acts 13:46-48 is what I'm planning to read. This gospel is the only message that's got any surety to it. You know, the world is preaching a false gospel that places all of the ability in people that are dead. Well, I know that ain't going to work. I know that's not so. But see, I know this. I know God has an elect. And I know that according to the Lord's word, all that the Father has given him, I know they're coming. I know they are. I don't know who they are, but I know that they are coming. And so I know this. You set forth the truth that salvation's of the Lord. That man has no power. I know that. I know that's true. You tell a man that he must repent, and I can tell you this, if he repents, it's because God gave him a new heart. I know that. And I can tell you this, it's sure. It's sure. I know this, if God's going to show mercy to you or to me, he's going to do it under this message right here. The message that gives him all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. What's wrong with that, Gary? What's wrong with God getting all the honor? What's wrong with that? And nothing wrong with it. Acts 13:46-48. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing, he's talking to the Jews here, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Don't you just love it when you read of God's ability, God's power, God's glory, God's honor? I just reading of God's sovereignty, my heart just rejoices. I know these things are so. I know by the revelation of God's Spirit, I know that I was born impotent. I know, spiritually impotent. I know that. I know that the Lord spoken to my heart, except you repent. And I know this. The only way I would have a change of mind, He got to give me a new mind. He got to give me a new mind. I must be born again. I must be born from above. I must be kept. I must be taught. And I know it's sure. I look back now over my life and I see how things kind of, how they worked out. And now, according to this word, all of these things were ordained before the foundation of the world, predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And I love setting forth that salvation is His, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. Lord, bless these words to our heart.